Welcome to the Living Word with Chuck Davis.
Mark 14:12-25, Passover Supper. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." We are so familiar with this story that we can go over it so quickly and miss how intense and intimate it is, how revealing. We really get to see the humanness of the disciples. The story opens with Jesus telling them to go prepare. They're to find a man carrying a jar of water. In that one phrase is a clue to the timing and the connection of that week. It wouldn't have been men who would have been carrying jars of water in preparation. That was the woman's task, except in the Essene community. And so Jesus would have been having the Passover in the Essene area. We've had a hard time bringing the chronology of this last week together, but knowing that the Essenes celebrated this meal on Wednesday makes the events seem much clearer. I'll pick this up in the scholar section of my website, but it really does point us to something, how we have to read the scriptures with our eyes wide open. The disciples are reclining with Jesus. John gives a far lot more material on the discourse between them, the exchange. But for Mark, the essential element here is the betrayal. The Passover elements are being reinterpreted by Jesus. The bread of the Passover becomes his body. And the cup, this is the blood of the covenant poured out. He's referring here to sacrificial atonement. It's most likely that this was the third of four cups that would have been taken at the Passover. Jesus, we're told in one of the other accounts, leads them in a hymn, and they go out before drinking the fourth cup. Interestingly, he's going to pray in the garden, "Can the fourth cup pass from me?" Because that is the cup of wrath. Yet he's going to drink it all for our sake. Jesus is going to be the one that takes on the full punishment that we so deserved. I always find it encouraging when he says, "I will not drink again until I drink it with you in the new kingdom of God." Is this a reference to that messianic banquet when everything is going to be finalized? The so what is to remind myself every time I go before the Lord's table that I'm really celebrating Passover. As the ancient Hebrews put the blood of lambs over their doorposts, that night when death came passing through and their liberation and freedom was right around the corner, so the blood of Jesus has been put over the doorpost of our hearts. it reminds us that Jesus has taken the penalty. So what? He is the penalty. The now what? There's no condemnation. Jesus is very hard on sin. I think of the story of him writing in the dust. And he asks, where are your condemners to the woman? And she says, they're gone. And he says, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. If there's condemnation in our life, it is the work of the enemy. If there's conviction, it's an invitation from the Lord to reappropriate the blood of Jesus to our lives and to go back to singleness, single-mindedness in life, to be alert to what God is doing, not as a means of earning our way in, but celebrating what he's already done for us. Lord, we thank you for drinking the cup of wrath, which we so deserved. We experience the Father's mercy and his grace because your lavish love for us and your obedience to his way. We are grateful people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.